Praise be to God. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is the day that the Lord has met. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Bible here. We study the Bible. We aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation by the grace of God. We've been able to do 22 books of the Bible. And I believe this week we shall complete our 23rd book. And that's a book of Isaiah, which you're handling. If you have not been able to listen to the podcasts that we've done straight from the book of Genesis, you can always find them on our app, that's Bible Independent Network. Also, you can find them on all podcast platforms, that's Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Podbean, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, name it, you'll find us there. And I believe the Lord shall speak to you even as you listen. I want us to continue today with our study of the Bible. And we are handling the book of Isaiah. Chapter 59 starts in the way that we always speak of, in something we always mention. Yeah? And it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear." That is a scripture we quote a lot, we mention a lot, we talk about so many times. When we are in trouble, when we are in pain, when we are going through some circumstances, we come out and say, "The Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save. The Lord's hand, the Lord's ear is not so dull that it cannot hear." And that's the truth. That's the fact. God is always able to come to your rescue. And he's always able to come and answer your prayer. But this is something that we never add to this scripture in verse 2. Yeah? It says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you that he does not hear." What causes our prayers not to be answered? The answer is here. What causes for our circumstances not to change? The answer is here. So when we are quoting verse 1, we need to be in knowledge of verse 2. Because the whole statement goes, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor his ear so dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." When I am in a life of sin, my prayers are not going to be answered. When I'm in a life of iniquity, I keep doing the same thing. I keep hurting people. I keep breaking people's hearts. I keep speaking ill of people. I keep making people's lives miserable. When I pray, there's a hampering that has been attached to my prayer. Because it's clear in scripture. It's clear in scripture here as we read. And Isaiah is telling them, yes, you pray and you don't get your answer because of your iniquities. Because of your sin. That life which I live has an impact on answering of my prayer. And now I pray that the Lord gives us the grace to always stand for him. Because, friends, sometimes we pray so much, but we don't get any results. You spend the nights in an overnight praying. You spend the whole day in prayer. You go to a certain mountain and pray, and still there is no answer. But what do I need to check? I need to check the contents in verse 2. How is my life? How is my righteousness? How is my standing with God? Because that has an impact on the answering of prayer. And it goes on and says, "For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity." You may say you're not a murderer because, they're talking about feeding them with blood, but your fingers with the iniquity. "Your lips have spoken falsehood." That's also part of the hampering of prayer. Why don't prayers get answered? Speaking lies. When you're always lying, like he says here, "Your lips have spoken falsehood." You never speak the truth. "Your tongue matters wickedness." Wickedness is what comes out. You're vulgar. You speak things that don't honor God. Yeah, you mention words that don't show his reverence. Yeah? No one sues righteously and no one pleads honestly. You're always in favor of the rich. You're always in favor of the things that will benefit you. Yeah? No one sues righteously. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. You go out and plot how to hurt others. They hatch others' eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a snake breaks forth. Their webs will not become clothing, nor will they cover themselves with their wax. Yeah? And he goes on and says that their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Devastation and destruction are in their highways. They do not know the way of peace, and there is no way justice in their tracks. They have made their paths crooked. Who treads on them does not know peace. It is very clear from this statement that a wicked life will equal unanswered prayer. So I need to walk with the Lord. I need to do things that honor God. If I need my prayers to be answered, let's try that. Let's not say it doesn't work when we've not tried it. Let me first try it, and I'll pray to God, and I know. There are many reasons why prayers are not answered, but this is one of them that has been brought out. And at least we have this to our attention, to know that to have answered prayer, you have to live a life that is righteous. And it goes and says, therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope all along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday, as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. All of us growl like bears and mourn sadly like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none for salvation. But it is far from us, for our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. These men come out to say, we know our iniquities. Each and every one of us knows their iniquities. You know your sin. You know the things that have become addictions and habits that do not honor God. So we know them. They are the things that make us stumble, that make us fall in broad daylight. You're falling. And it's because of that sin, that iniquity. Transgressing and denying the Lord and turning away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving in and uttering from the heart lying words. Justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness like a breastplate, a helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle. According to their deeds, so he will repay. According to my deeds, the Lord repays. That which you do is that which the Lord repays. If you love, he loves. If you help, he helps. If you care, he cares. If you bless, he blesses. If you hurt, you can answer. If you hate, you can answer that. If you don't wish good, you can answer that. Because from what we read here, it is according to your deed that God will repay. Wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the coastlands he will make recompense. So they will fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. A redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit which is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forever. There's a continuation of the word, yeah, and mentioning it and letting them know about what God has done and what God desires. Chapter 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear on you. Now, this is a word of encouragement, and a word of that goes out to someone to let them know that the Lord has your back. Though darkness covers the earth, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Though pain covers the earth, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Though businesses are failing, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, and yours shall not fail. The glory will appear to you. And it says, nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They will all gather together and they will come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you'll see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. A multitude of camels will come over to you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba will come. They'll bring gold and frankincense. They'll bear good news of the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar will be gathered together to you. The rams of Naboth will minister to you. They'll go up with acceptance on my altar, and I shall glorify my glorious house. Those who are those who fly like a cloud and like the doves to the lattices, surely the coastlands will wait for me. And it says, and the ships of Tarshish will come fast to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. Foreigners will build up your walls, and their kings will minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, and in my favor I have had compassion on you. Of course, this is a message going out to Israel. They have been in captivity, but God is promising them good times. They'll come. He says, I struck you with my wrath, but I still come back. That's the grace of God, that after you've gone through a terrible moment, he still considers you and comes back for your rescue. Yeah, and he tells them that, don't fear, I struck you, but I will have compassion on you. Your gates will be opened continually. They will not be closed day or night, so that men may bring to you the wealth of nations, with their kings led in procession. For the nation and the kingdom which will not serve you will perish, and the nations will be utterly ruined. This is a promise to Israel that days of glory will come, and those who don't serve you will perish. Yeah, the glory of Lebanon will come to you, the juniper, the box tree, and the cypress together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I'll make the place of my feet glorious. The sons of those who have afflicted you will come bowing to you, and all those who despised you will bow themselves at the soles of your feet, and they'll call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated with no one passing through, I'll make you an everlasting pride, a joy from generation to generation. You will also suck the milk of nations and suck the breast of kings. Then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. And instead of iron, I will bring silver. And instead of wood, bronze. And instead of stones, iron. And I will make peace your administrators and righteousness your overseers. Violence will not be heard again in your land, nor devastation or destruction within your borders. But you will call your wall salvation, and your gates praise. No longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give you light, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory. Your sun will no longer set, nor your moon wane, for you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be over. Then all your people will be righteous. they will possess the land forever. My branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The smallest one will become a clan, and the least one a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. That time is being promised to the people, and it's coming, where you won't need the sun. And we read about it in Revelation as well. And that time is coming. Are you ready for it? In that place where everybody will be righteous, where everybody will multiply, everyone will live in joy and in honor. Chapter 61. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim to the captives and freedom to you prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of God, to all of you who mourn the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastation, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, and foreigners will be your farmers and your vine dressers. These are good words that are going out to people of Israel after going through a troubled time. Yeah, all time that is filled with captivity. There's always, you know, when you've gone through terrible moments, you need to know that God can still bring good days. God can still give you good times. Yeah? And troubled times don't imply that you're finished. No. Troubled times should also give you hope that good times are coming. What are you going through today? Picture and have hope for better days, because that's what God desires for you. And he says, but you'll be called the priests of the Lord. You'll be spoken of as ministers of our God. You'll eat the wealth of nations, and in their riches you'll boast. Instead of your shame, you'll have a double portion. And instead of humiliation, they'll shout over for joy over their portion. Is there someone out there you've been ashamed? You've been ashamed, and for something you didn't even do, and you're living in shame. You don't want people to see you. He says, for those that are living in shame, you'll have a double portion. God shall come out for you. Have you been humiliated, and you feel like you're worthless, and humiliation keeps coming over you? He says, they'll shout for joy over your portion. They will say, look at how blessed this man is. Look at how blessed this lady is. After they have humiliated and shamed you, God promises double portion and rejoicing over that portion that you have. Therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery in the burnt offering. And I will faithfully give them their recompense and make an everlasting covenant with them. The Lord makes here a statement that he hates robbery in his offerings. Offerings and robbery. Those who take what belongs to the Lord, who rob it and go make their own riches, as spoken of here. And he's telling them directly. And he says, then their offspring will be made known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them will recognize them, because they are the offspring whom the Lord has blessed. When the Lord has blessed you, it is obvious to everybody. When the Lord has blessed you, people will see it and they will call you blessed. When the Lord has blessed you, it will be evident. There is total evidence for the blessing of the Lord upon your life. And I want to let you know that the blessing of the Lord cannot be hidden. Your time will come and it will be seen. When the Lord has blessed you, it will be seen. It cannot be hidden. And that's what he's telling them there. I'll rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes the things sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations. And he has come out to mention this to them. And in continuation, he says, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet. Until her righteousness goes forth like brightness and her salvation like a torch that is burning. The nations will see your righteousness and all kings of glory. And you will be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord will designate. You know, what a blessing that the Lord is the one that is going to give that new name. What a blessing that it is designated by the Lord that which you're going to be called. You know, a time will come when people won't just be calling you by name. But there is that which the Lord shall place upon you that you will be known by that. And that is because the Lord will have sent a blessing upon your life. That people will call you by that blessing. And the Lord is the one who will designate by his mouth that which you will be called. He's the one by his will who will place that blessing upon you and designate a name for you. Don't lose hope. Have hope in the Lord. Friends, yes, times can get tough. But we need to have hope in the Lord. We need to have faith in the Lord. We need to believe in the Lord. And he says, you will also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. It will no longer be said to you forsaken, nor to your land will it any longer be said desolate. But you will be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and to him your land will be married. Ah, when you read such words, you get hope. They will no longer call you forsaken. They will no longer call you cursed. They will no longer call you hopeless. They will no longer call you a failure. They will no longer call you somebody who is a failure in life that will amount to nothing. They will no longer call you worthless words. They will not call you forsaken, desolate. But they will say, the Lord's delight is in this man. The Lord's delight is in this woman. The Lord delights in them. You can see it all over their lives. You can see it all over their houses, their homes. You can see it all over their children. You can see it all over their work, that which they set hands to do. You can see it all over their ministries. You can see it all over everything that is part of them. The Lord's delight is in them. And that's a promise God gives me today. Gives me and you today, that we shall see this and there shall be delight in our lives. We will be called married. You know, this marriage is not between you and anyone else. It's between you and the most precious of all. It is filled with blessing. For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves, and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. They are being given a statement here that don't get tired of reminding the Lord. What are those things in your life that have taken long? Don't get tired to remind the Lord. What are those things that appear to take long and you're not achieving them? You're saying, year after year, I have prayed, I have hoped, I have believed, but it does not come to pass. What are those things? The message here to you is, don't get tired. Actually, the word they said, take no rest in reminding him until you see it come to pass. Keep praying. Keep hoping, keep worshiping, keep going out in prayer, keep helping. And from where we started, from when we were starting this podcast, keep doing what is right, because we read that righteousness has a part it plays and a huge part in answering of prayer. So keep in a righteous life. Don't get tired of doing good. Don't say the wicked are prospering, yet they don't honor God. That is their portion, and they have their judgment to come. Don't get tired of doing good, so that you want to switch into a wicked life as well, because you see that the wicked people are prospering. No. Keep doing good. Keep doing good, and you remind God, and you talk to Him, and you tell Him of the things that your heart desires. Remember, it's also key for me to know that I will remind God of the things that I need, but are they for my own good? Am I doing them for my own pleasure? Am I talking to God and reminding Him of the things in my life so that I benefit for my own good, for selfish reasons? Keep reminding the Lord. And we see a reference in Luke chapter 18, if you read that story of that parable. Yeah, and says, "And He spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was a city, in a city a judge who feared not God and neither regarded man. And there was this widow in the city who came to them and already said, 'Avenge of my adversary.' But he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, 'Though I don't fear God or regard man, this widow troubles me, so I will avenge her.'" So the Lord says about this story and says, "Hear what the unjust judge said. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, for the Son of Man, when he comes, shall he find faith on the earth?" Here is a promise, even referenced to by Jesus himself, saying, you tell him, don't rest. Go on and tell him. Go on and remind him. Go and talk to him like that judge did eventually and avenged that widow. God will also come out and establish and make your name. And whatever need you have, come into consideration and he will answer your prayer. So don't get tired. Don't get tired. Keep on and keep on. And he says, "The Lord has sworn by his first hand and by his strong arm, I will never again give your grain as food for your enemies, nor will foreigners drink your new wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it will eat of it and praise the Lord. And those who gather it, it will drink it in your courts of my sanctuary. Go through the gates, clear the way for my people. Build up the highway. Remove the stones, lift up a standard over the peoples. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Lo, your salvation comes.' Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. And they will call him, they will call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you'll be called sought out, a city not forsaken." That will be your name. Trust in the Lord. They'll call you blessed. The Lord shall come out for you. He shall prosper you. He shall prosper the works of your hand. He shall prosper every detail about you. Just trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He comes out for his people. He comes out for their deliverance. Trust in the Lord. He will come out in that disease, that sickness that is you feel is going to claim your life. Trust in the Lord. He will come and heal you. Trust in him to touch your body and make you well. In the name of Jesus, we declare healing for people that are sick today, for people that have afflictions in their body. We declare healing in the mighty name of Jesus. Touch them, mighty Father. Make them whole. Make them well in the name of Jesus. Even diseases that have been spoken of by doctors, and they tell them they have few months to live, that they will always live in such a life, that they will always have a defect on their bodies. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare healing upon them right now. Touch somebody, Lord. Heal cancers. Heal broken limbs. Heal body organs, mighty Father, right now. in the name of Jesus. Set your children free in the name of Jesus. They will be well. And by your stripes we were healed. And today we claim healing. Be healed in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for your revelation. And we pray that you always go with us and you always have our back. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name.